Good afternoon. Once again, this is Melanie Lilliston with the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. Today we're going to be having a conference call, and several organizations are going to be prepared some remarks on their Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program. It's a program, employment program that is offered by the Department of Labor, and they're going to share some of their program's highlights and some of the things that they feel are replicable in other areas. So if our speakers want to go ahead and hit *7 to unmute their line so we can make sure that they are able to be heard. We will be taking questions, so if everyone can just kind of hold off until all of our speakers conclude, and then we'll take time to answer as many questions as we have that we can. We'll go ahead and start with the City and County of Denver. Are you guys here still?
I'm here.
Okay, great. We'll go ahead and start with you.
Sure. I'm Ian Listman, Program Coordinator for the HVRP program here at the City and County of Denver. I've got Case Manager Edward Carrasco and Iris Allred also here at my desk. I've got you on a speakerphone here, so hopefully the quality is not too poor. Let's see here. Where do we start? Let's give a quick program overview. We were initially started back in 2001. We first received the grant. This is our third three-year cycle. We're in year one of that cycle. We're a standalone program. We receive no outside funding other than the HVRP grant, which pays for our salaries and also our support services. We place into employment approximately 280 a year. We enroll 380. We assess anywhere between 600 and 800. As everyone's probably aware, the current economic downturn has definitely increased the number of walk-ins and new clients we're seeing, so we've had to adjust our model a little bit to deal with the greater demand we're having. Let's see. We recently have a pilot program where we're creating an interactive database, which is allows us to case manage our clients virtually without having any paper files. It also allows us to track all our services, pretty much run the entire program from a client level to the program level and everything in between. We're still working out a few kinks. We are paperless. We've scanned in all our files. It's a PDF format, cross-reference everything, so that's been a huge undertaking the last year. I don't know exactly what you're trying to glean from me, so maybe a little guidance here.
Okay, just a general overview of your program, and then so for all the speakers, if you could just provide a little bit some of the services, particular services that you do offer to your clients.
Sure.
And then also if there are any unique aspects or unique collaborations that you guys feel other people would benefit knowing about, that would be great.
Sure. Basically, the way we model our program is we'll normally assess a client for up to 30 days if they're not job ready. We provide them with transportation assistance in the form of bus tokens and taxi cab vouchers. We also provide them with haircut vouchers, do comprehensive training, including resume and interview skills. We have a clothing bank, so we help them get basically job ready with appropriate interview and work clothing. We provide product vouchers, which is basically grocery store gift cards. We provide, what else, haircuts, basically everything that the client needs. The direct supportive services that we have Walmart cards if they need work-related tools and equipment once they become employed. We help with specialized equipment and training. If they need certifications, we also help with that. We've collaborated with our local veteran service officer who holds a veteran's trust fund through the tobacco grant monies through the state. So he has some discretionary monies that he's able to provide. We have a transitional housing program that we provide beds for 15 veterans on a rotating basis. He pays for that directly. He also pays for things that are outside of the scope of HVRP. Let's see what else. So our program is normally we keep clients active normally for 6 months. Then we do follow-up and retention. We usually have them come in at 180 days on the job and then 270 days on the job. So retention is always a trick in these clients, especially once they become a little more successful. They don't want to necessarily be associated with a homeless program. So we tend to offer them a retention incentive to kind of give them a carrot to have them come in. What else can we say here? For job readiness class, we run that basically every week for all our new clients. It includes an overview of the job market, assessment of their skills, We find a lot of our clients, especially the ones who are coming out of the Department of Corrections or who've been out of the workplace, the chronically homeless, they have a lot of barriers around computer skills and grasping the fact that it's simply critical to at least have the basics to have an email address, electronic resumes. We try to get them up to speed in that department. We also go through mock interviews with them, talk about the various trends in the workforce, current resume trends, the way that interviewing has kind of changed in the last several years. So we kind of clue them into the new interviewing techniques that they may encounter in the workforce. We work with a lot of employers. We've got a wide spectrum. For the higher functioning clients or the clients with more skills, we'll do individualized job searches and match them up with one of our partner employers. We also have employers that work with our clients who aren't as highly skilled. We have flyer distribution. We've got call centers. We also work with security companies, being as veterans have a good background for the security world. We work with the local workforce center here. We're located at 1200 Federal in the Castro Human Services building. So we have a state workforce center in our building right across the hall from us. So they register there. There's lots of classes they're eligible to do that. Also, we work with the DevOps and Leavers who are also stationed here at this building. So we clue them into those services, and they provide additional job search, additional trainings, et cetera. So is that a good overview, or do you want more?
Sure. No, that's great. I would just say, you mentioned you guys were going paperless. Can you, that's a pretty unique thing. Can you explain a little bit more on how you decided to do that and what was your process there?
Well, to be quite honest, the reason we started doing it was due to common measures, which makes tracking it with paper files virtually impossible to get all the demographics. So we initially started with a simple spreadsheet, and it slowly evolved from there. The city of Denver is, as a whole, because the government entity is going paperless. It's a phased transition. We're just a little bit ahead of the curve, so we got away from the paper case files and started using electronic case notes, electronic record of supported services. We then incorporated a scanning ability so we can scan in copies of their 214s, their identification, things of that nature. So we have that capability. Moving into the next phase, we'll have an electronic signature pad where the veteran will actually be able to sign electronically for their benefits instead of having to sign on a piece of paper. Department of Labor is pretty, they run a tight ship as far as tracking services, so we have to make sure we have everything triple redundant. So we do have backups. We still do use some non-electronic formats for certain things. Our local transportation provider still uses paper forms, so it's kind of a hybrid mixture, but from that, then we went into basically creating a database program that will cross-reference all the information that we have from the individual client to pull that into weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly reports. It will show, we can pretty much pull the data out any way we want to. We can say how many African-American vets under the age of 30 do we have in our program. We can do a search on that. We can say how many Vietnam veterans over the age of 65 do we have in the program. We can look at that. So the demographics-wise is really good. It also tracks our services so we know how much each client is costing us. We track our assessments even this way now so we can see if people are coming in with any trends as far as age groups or demographics. And, we're not seeing the younger vets to the extent that we perhaps thought we would, but we are starting to slowly see increases in the younger veterans from the current conflicts, as well as female veterans. We're starting to see more female veterans. So we're able to glean some information that through the database, as well as track our program, generate reports. So that's an ongoing creation process. What was the other thing you wanted to know about?
I was just the process that you guys involved with through the paperless system.
Well, it took a lot of man hours to just scan in all our old case files because we keep everything at least for 3 years on file. We get a lot of repeat business, so guys coming back in. So we tend to keep, going back to 2003, 2004, 2005, we had handwritten case notes. So those are all being scanned, and eventually there'll be OCR text recognition, and it'll be transferred into a text file. Same thing with other documents. We do keep a certified 214, but basically it's just a matter of going through, creating a unique identification, normally the last name of the client and their last four. And we tag everything to that. We create some files within the system that contain the various individual documents that are pushed up the next file above that, which is the client case file. Case notes, employment development plan is in there. All the things, the follow-up, everything you would find in a paper case file are now all in there electronically. So it's been a lot of work to get it going, but now it's a lot easier instead of having to go through drawers and looking for files and, you know, misplacing files and all the things that happen. Now, in the electronic system, we simply type in the client's last name, pull up their record, we can see their 214, see what documents, we can see their past program performance, how much they cost them, and maybe we've given them tools, maybe we've housed them, so that way we can see what the client's been through, and it can help us streamline our program to make it more successful.
Okay, great. I would just say, I know female veterans is a, kind of a new frontier in regards to job placement and job opportunities. Is there anything you would like to add in dealing with that unique population?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, we have a female case manager, Iris Oliver. She's sitting right here. So having a female in the office definitely, I think, helps a lot. There tend to be more services available for females in general. So I think that's part of the reason why they may not come into our program because, again, due to the large numbers of veterans we see and the fairly limited budget we have, we really don't have a whole lot of, hard cash, so to speak, to hand out. So there are a lot of programs for women. So a lot of times the female veterans will go through the programs that are oriented for women before they'll come into a veterans program. That being said, we have seen an influx of female veterans over the last several years. And again, I attribute that to having a female on the staff, as well as just outreach. You have to get out there and let the veterans know that we're there.
Okay, and do you have certain, do you focus their employment on a certain area, or how do you ensure that you're able to meet some of their employment goals, those types of things?
Well, normally we do an individualized, employment development plan, so that's going to vary from client to client. If they have dependents, of course, that's a unique barrier. Child care is always an issue. Again, it's really not that gender specific necessarily, because if they have skills in a certain field, we're going to go ahead and try to get them a job in that field, regardless of their gender. So it's more issues of vulnerability, issues of shelter, issues of child care, things like that. A lot of times there's domestic violence involved, so we have to make sure that they're safe. And address those personal safety barriers before we can really look at the employment piece. But normally they're treated like our male clients as far as the employment piece goes.
We'll
take a look at their skills, maybe see where their weak areas are, try to get them maybe a little bit of updated training, and then try to get them into a job that's gonna fit their needs.
And are you seeing them fall into one particular or a couple different categories or positions, or is it pretty much across the board based on what they bring to the table?
It's pretty much across the board. We have hospitality services. Here in Denver, our job market is fairly skewed. There is a technology sector here. There's a large construction sector here. There's also information technology is big here. Real estate is big here. So, a lot of hospitality, telemarketing, things like that. Anything else, Iris, you can think of off the top of your head that would be specific?
Sales.
Jobs that require soft skills and interpersonal type of jobs are usually probably geared more towards the individual. But again, it really does kind of go on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a few nurses. Medical is pretty big, too. So we got, home care workers, nurses, medical technicians, things like that.
Okay, great. Any other additional comments, good, bad, ugly, that you'd like to share with the group?
I think everyone's experiencing hard times right now. There's been layoffs in the city, so there's been a lot of morale issues around that for us. Being in the government, in the public sector, it's a little bit, we have a different perspective than perhaps some of the other grantees who are in the nonprofit world who have maybe other sources of funding and things of that nature. We have to pretty much rely on our partners a lot. And I've heard rumors that they may be increasing the ceiling on the HVRP grant, and like you mentioned, the women and children increase on the grant possibly. So really it comes down to, as it always does, the bottom line. You know, we need more funding to provide for the greater increase of veterans. You know, we were normally seeing 600 a year with $300,000. Well, now we're seeing double that with the same amount of money. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, that somewhere either we got to start giving less to individuals or we have to start turning them away. Our solution has been to bolster our services, reduce it slightly, but not turn anyone away. So that's kind of been our own, at least short-term solution to what hopefully will not become a long-term problem.
Okay, great. I really appreciate the overview there. And is it possible for you to stick around until the end of the call to answer any questions that may come up?
That's fine.
Okay, great. Next, we're going to have someone from the St. Patrick Center.
Nancy? Hi, Melanie. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
This is Sergio from St. Louis. I'm a manager here of the HVRP program. We have five employment managers in this partnership. I have here with Nancy Box, who's senior director overseeing employment, and she was going to describe a bit of the advantage of this partnership center.
Hi, Melanie. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
First of all, I wanted to give just an overview of St. Patrick Center because I think it's important to know that to understand how our HVRP program fits in. We started back in 1983, and we started small like most agencies. We started in the basement of a church just providing food and some mental health services, and we have grown into what we are today. With we have 28 programs. Centered around three main areas, which would be housing, employment, and mental health services. And like most agencies, you probably have people come in and say, I just need a job that's going to solve all my problems. But as all of you know, if you get a job but you still don't have housing or you still are not taking care of your mental health or substance abuse issues, then you're not going to keep that job for very long. So all of our programs have that three-component focus, so we make sure that we're taking care of the whole individual. We started back in 2000. Well, St. Patrick's Center started in 1983, but in 2000, we moved into a partnership building. It was a building that was donated to us, and our CEO at the time had a vision of other agencies moving in with us so our clients could get everything they need in this one building. So in addition to 28 programs, we have 13 partners on site, and we have seven paying tenants. So our clients have access to everything from the Grayfield Clinic, which is a medical clinic, to get their medical needs taken care of. We have Logan Chiropractic Center on site providing free chiropractic services. We have Social Security has a video conferencing site here, so we can do the actual applications with the clients here on site. Just about anything you can think of that the client would need, we have that here on site. And we provide space to our partners so we can make that available to the client. Some are not paying, some are here for free simply because of the need. With that partnership, we have a shared client tracking system. So our clients do one intake. They come into our central intake, and we gather the basic information there, and then they are referred to the program or partner that fits their need. And sometimes that's, you know, two, three, four different programs. So if they're going to housing or and employment, then that housing case manager and the employment case manager have immediate access to that initial information that was provided. So that's one thing that makes us unique.
864,000 for the clients.
We see about 9,000 people a year. I think I said that already. We're fortunate that our building was donated, like I said, and then Department of Commerce gave us a significant amount of money to finish off our fourth and fifth floors. So that houses our administrative offices, and we have our own conference center and a small business incubator. So we are still growing. You can check out our website at www.stpatrickcenter.org to get more information. I don't want to get too much into detail, but as Sergio said, I'm the director of employment, so I'm responsible for our employment and training programs here at St. Patrick's Center, and we have nine of those, HVRP being one of them. I did want to mention, though, that we also have another homeless veteran program that is funded by our State Department of Mental Health, and they contracted They receive a VA per diem grant from the VA, of course, and then they contracted with us to provide the services. One thing that we did was partner with an apartment owner one block from our building, and he has allocated 50 of his apartments in that brand new renovated building to us for veterans. So at present, we have 45 veterans housed just one block from our building. So they have easy access to all the services that we have here on site. So we'll be happy to answer questions about that as well towards the end. But I'm going to turn it over to Sergio, who, like he said, is the manager of our HVRP program. And it is one of our oldest programs at St. Patrick's Center. We started in 83. Our HVRP grant started in 1988. So it's almost as old as the agency is.
Okay, I was going to discuss a little bit about the client flow process here. As Nancy mentioned, we have a general intake that everyone goes through. If they desire to do employment at this time, they then do an employment intake, and one of, I believe it's 15 different case managers in rotation will do a daily or morning or afternoon intake session and qualify these people for one of about five different employment tracks here, one of them being HVRP. So if they are a homeless vet looking for full-time permanent employment with a valid form DD-214 and not enrolled with our sister HVRP provider here in St. Louis, then we can work with them. Following the intake, they will be handed a slip to attend the next job readiness training class. We do them every 2 weeks, and they're here for four mornings. And if and only if they finish all four mornings and actively participate, we judge them to be now eligible for enrollment into HVRP. They then go into case management where they are assigned to one of our three HVRP case managers, and they continue on that track through employment, housing, and then retention, and then finally closeout. Now, in one of the advantages of this partnership center is that we have developed in-house training programs for those that are looking for some skill enhancement. We do the Microsoft suite of application training here. We have a building maintenance program for this five-story building. So we have our clients maintaining this structure. We own and operate a lunchtime eatery called McMurphy's Grill, which is a training program for food service. And we are actively looking and leveraging funds to bring in new training ops such as this under the new green theme. We do land management, turf management, so landscape training. We're getting into building maintenance in energy efficiency and retrofitting, and we're going to be soon entering into solar installation training. And we're always out there looking for partners that can help boost the skill sets of our vets and move them into one of these new industry jobs. We are very much front-end loaded when it comes to providing services. We recognize that we're putting out fires daily. And
your job program, that training program.
So as we would hope to balance our services, we're now looking to try to place more emphasis on retention. We brought on a retention person for that alone. We brought on a job developer just for job development purposes in this green industry. And our total number of vets we see, we have about 600 that come through our agency in any given year. We'll actively engage with about half that number, and we hope to place up to about 200 people per year in employment, along with housing upwards in the about 80s category and training upwards in 25 or better also. So that's it kind of in a nutshell. Any questions from the moderator?
What I would say, are you guys doing, you mentioned green jobs. In addition, are you doing anything in relation, like the state of your economy right now? How are things, you know, more time spending doing or evaluating relationships in that regard, or are you guys just kind of par for the course there?
Well, our economy is in bad shape. We are above the national average when it comes to the unemployment rate. We're finding that we are placing vets and then having them having their hours cut or having their positions cut, having to place these vets once again. Our competitive advantages here in St. Louis would have to do with housekeeping, building maintenance, landscape, and turf management. But we also see that telecommunications and warehousing are big also. So we're actively looking to engage employers in that in those areas. We've had employers come to us recently, like the land management and the facilities management of a major university came to us looking for workers. We had a supermarket open up in the downtown area, which is a revitalization zone, come to us, and we helped supply them with a number of workers. So we do quite a bit to outreach to these employers, and our brand label out there is very healthy, and so we are building on that to establish these relationships.
Okay, great. And I'll just ask if you can stick around for the rest of the call and then answer any questions that may come up.
Sure can.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay, U.S. Vets, someone on the line to share a little bit of information about your program?
Yes, Donna Bliley here. I'm the site director for U.S. Vets Phoenix. United States Veterans Initiative was founded back in 1993 in Los Angeles, and by 2003 we had 10 sites in 5 different states. U.S. Vets Phoenix, which I'm responsible for, came on board in December of 2001 and has been an HVRP grantee for nearly 8 years now, since July of 2002. We're located in a renovated nursing home in South Phoenix. I feel like our program is terribly small all of a sudden next to these guys. But we are the largest supplier and provider of veteran services in Maricopa County, which is the Phoenix metropolitan area. We have 70 beds of transitional housing, through which we serve approximately 250 veterans a year. We also have 32 units of permanent affordable housing, with another 75 beginning construction in May of this year. And additionally, we operate a separate program, which is the only one in Maricopa County, for disabled homeless veterans. We have 17 units of permanent housing for those disabled veterans who will not be able to sustain regular employment for at least 12 months or longer, and who, most of you know, are the most vulnerable when they're out there on the street. Two years ago, we were selected as a best practices site, and we're very proud of that. A little bit about the area we're in. Maricopa County has somewhere between 3,000 and 3,500 homeless veterans on the streets every night. Within that, within the services within Maricopa County, there are only approximately 150 beds to provide treatment or transitional housing. Therefore, you know, our mission statement, not here in Phoenix, but company-wide, is our mission is the successful reintegration of the greatest number of homeless and at-risk veterans to their highest level of independence as possible. In Phoenix, rapid reintegration is just, you know, absolutely necessary because we always have a waiting list. There are always people on the street because there just aren't enough beds. Our State Department of Veterans Services has taken notice of that along with the VA's new 5-year plan to end homelessness. They brought on a director for homeless veteran services and are actively working with providers in the area to try and get more per diem beds and more services in the area. But until then, we are the largest. I like to believe that our success has been greatly enhanced by our mindset. And what I mean by that, and some of you will understand, we describe ourselves as an employment program that provides housing and services. But employment is essential core of our program, and that mindset affects everything we do, from outreach to assessment to case planning, case management, and training. Many programs that provide transitional housing or some form of housing call themselves a housing program that offer employment, and it sounds optional. Here it is not optional. And I think that has a lot to do with our success. In the current year we're in right now, we're on or above target, surprisingly, which I'll tell you how we got there, for everything in this bad economy. We'll assess over 300 homeless veterans. We'll enroll probably right around 210, and we will end up placing 165 homeless veterans, which we were at 82 at the December 30th mark. So we're right on target. We are an active program, and we're hitting our goals. Back in 2008, we watch indicators too. I wish I had all of your systems, your virtual systems. I would love to be virtual, but HUD and the VA want to see paper documents. They won't deal with computerized documents. Back in 2008, between July and December, we had always watched our time to hire ratio. And our average veterans, 85% of all the veterans who came in here and got jobs, got them within the first 36 days. Between July and December of 2008, that time frame went up to 60 days. And you'll remember that was the beginning of the downslide of the economy. Here in Arizona, it was a real shock because we had been traveling along at about 3% unemployment, maybe a little less. And suddenly we're at 7% within 6 months, which had more than doubled. And our time to employment was getting longer and longer. And when I heard some of you mention the follow-up and follow-up services, one of the things that we found is our best opportunity to provide good follow-up with our clients is by serving the clients that actually live in our transitional housing. Every time we get outside of here and we provide services to people from the street, we kind of lose them. They wander off and don't keep in contact with us. And so therefore, we've been, since Common Measures, we've been trying to focus on serving those clients that we could develop a relationship with through our transitional housing so that we could provide follow-up data.
Vegas. Ooh, I'll go to the Vegas HVIP.
The end result is that we weren't able to move enough people through here to make any of our goals once employment began slowing down. We embarked on a pilot program with an organization called Ideal Hire, who had created a military skills translator for the Navy League. And they sat down with us, and we piloted with them for about 6 months this program. And so literally every one of our veterans that comes in here now sits down in front of a computer. It also helps a lot with that computer training you were talking about, because they're doing something fun and fairly easy and getting accustomed to the computer as they go. They'll come in and they enter their skills. And the way it works is that the program will say, what branch of the service were you in? And they'll indicate their branch of service. Let's say they were in the Army. And then it will go through and it will say, well, what was your rank? And they'll answer that question. They were an E6. Next question will come up, well, what was your MOS? And maybe they were in the motor pool, whatever. And so then the next question goes through and says, well, what did you do there? You know, were you doing engine repair, body repair, all of the different options that the person's service might have entailed, and they'll click off all of those, And the next questions become subtle, and that's where this military skills translator is translating their military skills into civilian keyword searches. Suddenly they're answering, did you manage people? Did you supervise people? Did you schedule people? Did you do other things? And by doing that, they create a skill set right there in the computer. They do this in about anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour of a complete history. The program then, having all of their skills, and they also enter their education and any civilian work experience they have, creates a portal for them. It's much like a Facebook page. And within that program, it stores all of their data. It'll allow them to upload their DD-214, their resume, any commendations they had, security clearances, letters of reference, educational certificates, anything they would want to provide to an employer, all gets loaded up into their portal. And that portal goes with them when they leave here. They can access it long after they're gone from here, and we can also access them and see what activity they've had in their portal. The best part of this the next best part for our veterans is that when they walk in the morning and they hit a button and go into their portal, every job from every website, whether it's monster.com, your local city or state website, or a private organization that matches their keyword searches that they've already entered all their background, which is kind of invisible in their portal, comes up on their screen. And they can literally access from there the jobs on Monster, Career Builder, City of Phoenix, wherever it is, and within a geographic area. That does two things. Number one, the sense of accomplishment our homeless veterans get when they enter all of this information into the Skill Builder is amazing, because most of them just, oh, I was an E6 in the Army. It never meant anything career-wise until they started putting down what all the skills were. And if they had to remember all those skills, they'd never be able to do it. But by being able to select, they get more and more confident as they begin to go through the beginning of the employment process. Second of all, it allows them to begin to have ideas of what kind of job to look for, because you and I all know that while online job searches are becoming the thing in our employment-related field, it doesn't work real well for homeless veterans with long bouts of unemployment and with incarceration and other difficulties they've suffered through. But it does give them an idea of the kind of jobs they should go out and look for out in the community and in their surrounding area. So that creates a sense of confidence in them, and it also keeps them from wasting all their time sitting in front of a computer going from website to website, because we all know that is not necessarily the high percentage payoff for these clients. Second thing it does is it provides us with a back office function. The back office function allows us to go into the computer at any given time and we can look at all of our clients that we have in there in the computer, and it will tell us based on skill sets what we've got the most of. When we started this in 2008, we started in December of 2008. One of the interesting things I'll tell you is between December 2008, the end of December, and March 30th of 2009, our average time to hire, which had gone up to 60 days, went back down to 46 days. What that meant was we were getting much more time efficiency, both out of our case managers, out of our clients, and out of the job search. So that was the most important immediate impact we got out of instituting the system during the pilot. But also our career services department, we have three case managers and a career center manager. Our career center manager double functions as a job developer, and so do all of our case managers at different levels, depending on their comfort and their level of contact. Our career services manager could go out, pull a report, and what we found out was we thought we had most of our candidates in-house had construction background, for example. When we went through the skills indicator, we found that 35% of all of our clients had customer service background, because a lot of those people that worked in construction worked in customer service facets of the construction industry. And so that allows us to target our job development to what we have people in at that particular time, whatever industry is suffering the most at that time, that we have the most clients in here. It's been invaluable for us. It also allows us, if we're out there doing job development and someone calls in and says, okay, I'll give you a try. I need two plumbers. One of them has to have 4 years experience. The other one can get by with just 2 years, and they give us specifics they need to have experience in. We enter all of that information in the back of house database, and within 2 minutes, we will have all of the clients in the database that fit that job description. And by what percentage? Is it a 97% hit? Is it an 85% hit? And then our case managers can very quickly, we can email right out of that system to the case managers that client is working with and have them set up within 24 hours for interviews. Literally, we've been able to hire, get three or four people hired off of a call in within 48 hours. So we've had to work on what can we do to make us faster in order to be able to deal with the population. Trying to think, what else can I say? We have, as I said, we have three career case managers and a career services manager. We also have a dedicated IT and training specialist, and all of them work under the direction of our programs manager, but our program takes on a very employment bent. And within training, we literally house the IT specialist in our career center where all the computers are so he can both solve problems but also be there to help them. Some of them come in and he runs classes, your basic Word and how to set up email and all of those things. Everyone that comes in gets an email account, and he also can help them solve more difficult problems, which helps them along with their career training. I guess that's pretty much what I could say.
Okay, great.
I said a lot fast.
That's okay. At this point, I think if it's okay with everyone, we're going to open it up for questions. If you do have a question for one of the speakers, if it's particularly to them, if you can state that at the beginning and then ask the question. And then in order to get us through as many questions as we can, if we could just limit it to one to start with, and then if you have additional, we can come back to that. To unmute your line and ask your question, you're going to hit *7, and we'll go ahead and take some of the questions now. So *7 will unmute your line to ask any questions of our speakers.
Hello.
Okay, go ahead.
This question is for Denver.
Okay, go ahead.
On your paperless process, what is the name of the program that you all use? Is it, FileMaker, or Access, or what? What is that? The name of that program?
All right, thanks. The program doesn't have a name. We do use elements of SQL and Access. It's a Windows-based interface, but we actually have our data. We have a data database manager person who's helped to create this system. So it doesn't really have a name per se.
All right, thank you.
Welcome.
Other questions? *7 to unmute your line.
Yes, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Wondering, for the sites that have housing, do you have psychosocial assessments that you do that address employment and mental health issues, drug, alcohol, learning disabilities? I'm looking for a comprehensive psychosocial assessment that we could do with our vets that we could then match services with their needs.
We have housing, but every one of our clients prior to coming in here to being assessed by us is assessed by the VA, and the VA does the psychosocial assessment and provides us with that input in order to impact the individual action plan that we create with each client. So I don't have their documents, but I would tell you that your local VA will have some pretty good assessment tools.
Do you like what they have?
Is anybody from the VA on the line? I don't always get as much information as I would like, not necessarily because the questions aren't there, but maybe they're hurried in their assessment.
Thank you.
Any of the other, either Denver or St. Patrick's, have any comment on the assessment tools?
Yeah, can I ask a question just about the VA for Phoenix? Do you have an MOU with the VA, or what's the relationship, and how do you, you know, you said you use their assessment, but what exactly does that mean?
Okay, we are a grant and per diem holder.
Okay.
And the VA is probably within 7 or 8 miles of us.
Right.
And part of being a grant and per diem holder, we actually house a VA liaison.
Okay, because that is a VA program, right? That grant and per diem, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Grant and per diem, and we do that through the VA. Work very, very closely with the VA.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Michael Leon from the Healthcare for the Homeless in Phoenix,
Arizona. Hi, Mike.
U.S. Vets is one of our homeless programs. It's a grant. It's our only grant per diem program, actually. Comprehensive assessment. We did a Form X. On top of that, we assess them health care directly in the hospital. Their primary, I guess, niche is their employment needs to get to get stable and to get housing. So that is what they do best.
They don't see cannabis on it.
But we do provide a screening sheet as well for access to health care reasons to all our homeless programs.
Okay, if you do unmute your line, can you be cognizant of the fact that other people can hear you? So either then mute your line. To do that again, it's *6, but so we can make sure everybody can be heard, I would appreciate it.
Can I just ask a general question, because it sounds like people have been getting this funding for a while. It was my understanding that it was 3-year limit on getting funds.
Then you can reapply
every 3 years?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And just
you would be a new grantee at that point, but yes, you are eligible to apply after the 3 years is over.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Another question, *7 to unmute your line.
Hi. My name is Lloyd. I'd like to hear more about the military skills translator sites from the U.S. Vets in Phoenix.
Okay, do you have a particular question or area you want more information on?
I was curious as to what websites they're using as they were speaking. I found military.com. There's also TalNet, and there's others listed. Are they using a particular, or do they have a particular arrangement?
Sure.
Here's
what you can do to get an idea of what it's about. If you'll go to IDEAL, that's IDEAL, militaryhire.com, you'll see their public website. They customize a program for U.S. vets and have are beginning to work with other organizations that have the HVRP grant to make it available to them. But that will show you the basis of how the system works. The cost system to us is right around $8,000 to $10,000 a year. It's based on how many. It's not based at all on how many veterans you have in your system. It's based on how many users you have. It's like an online system. So you don't have to upload anything, whatever. It's online, and it's based on how many users you have authorized to use the system. It's extremely efficient.
Can you give that website one more time?
It's IDEAL, militaryhire.com.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? *7 to unmute your line.
Hi, this is Evelyn. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'm from the United Veterans Speaking House in Bayshore, New York. I was late joining in. Sorry about that. I wanted to speak to Arizona about, you were talking about these skills being in a database builder, and that you had someone to transfer the skill set into keyword search for modern day industry, and how the online job search doesn't work all that well for vets with large gaps of unemployment. Is there any, do you have any ideas or any suggestions? Because, see, You were talking about using the skills from what the vet actually did in the military. In our particular location, we deal with a lot of vets who've been out of the military for so long, and there are gaps, of course, because of mental health issues or substance abuse interruptions, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's just kind of, it's difficult, you know, trying to do online job search or any type of job search for that matter. Are there any suggestions that you could give me?
Absolutely. I probably wasn't totally clear. It's called Ideal Military Hire. However, it has extensive opportunity for you to also add your civilian job.
Okay.
And those the same way to say what, you know, what's your do you have a degree or you
yes.
have experience in accounting? Okay, was that accounts payable, accounts receivable?
Okay, so that
process.
Particular website
yes.
would show me all of that as well?
And hopefully it will. I actually haven't used their open website. I just looked it up last night before I was doing this.
Yeah, but,
but it should give you a way to contact them and just ask them what they're doing for U.S. vets.
Okay.
And they'll tell you all about it.
I will definitely do that, thank you.
Yeah, because it really works extremely well for non-military. It was devised for the Navy League and their families. So it has, you can literally don't have to go into the military part. You can click family member and go in and just do it as a civilian.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank
you. Okay, another question, R7.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm trying to ask for a disabled person, and if you get the turnaround rate, she was saying that they were employing people within 45 days. Our economy here is like 12% unemployment, so I want to know what the turnaround rate is, what's the status ability of people being permanently hired.
To which particular program are you addressing it to? Or just generally asking the question? Sir?
Okay, generally I'm asking, what is the turnaround rate, and is the person that wants to get him on this program, is he a permanent job, does he own a permanent job, is he still with the program, or does he just go on his way?
Okay, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, when they were discussing their placement rates, those are permanent employment opportunities, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I'm asking the speakers, though, but when they gave those percentages, those were permanent positions, correct?
Those are placements into permanent employment, correct.
Okay, so what is your question?
My question is, you said it's taking 45 days off, because I went from 30 to 45 days. Okay, I'm in a place where I have, like, a 12% unemployment rate, okay, and how would you adjust that to our location here? What can you offer me that may help us out where I'm at?
Okay, so if we could start with Denver and then work our way down from the speakers, just discuss what you think is your biggest success or biggest contribute to the fact you're able to get people hired that quickly.
I mean, really, I think a big part of it is client accountability and case management. You really have to show the clients job leads, but make sure they follow up on those job leads. The economy here in Denver is pretty rough, so a lot of times, not going to get their dream job on the first job. So usually we start them out something maybe a little bit below their skill level, so they can get used to being in the workplace, and then help have them apply for better jobs over time. So it's a stepping stone type of job. Maybe a lower wage job is not as challenging, but they get used to getting up every day, going to the workplace and whatnot, and then we tell them to move up through the ranks with their current employer or to find a better job. So that seems to be one thing that's helpful.
Okay, great. How about St. Patrick's? Can you give one kind of example suggestion that you believe is one of your biggest success?
Sure. We provide the best possible customer service we can. When vets see that they're being attended to, they'll come back day after day after day. And when that relationship is established and they're out following all the leads, they will attain a job faster than someone who's just kind of playing at it. So we really stress relationship building and partnering with our case managers. And those are the individuals that find a job the fastest because they've done their resumes, they've gotten their referrals, and they can go out and put in those applications and then touch base with us for additional transportation assistance, uniform assistance, or whatever that is. So I really think it's relationship building with the case managers and the vets.
Okay, great. And U.S. Vets, one kind of big factor for you guys?
Well, I think the gentleman from Denver and also one of your gentlemen on the conference call on February 4th said it. Sometimes people have to start with the job they need in order to get to the job they want. And that's so true. And one of the things that's helped us in past that is I go back to, I'm not a salesperson, I get no commission, but I go back to having some kind of a data tracking system. Because often when you're placing people or when you're forwarding them to that job opportunity, we all know if you have to go through a stack of 100 resumes to figure out who would be eligible for that opportunity, it takes a lot of time, and the last person you see is the one you remember. Whereas when we're doing it by database and the skills in the system, it helps us remember that person who may currently be working on the census, which we know is a temporary job, but we can pull him out of there and get him in for the interview as the electrician that he has a goal to be.
Okay, great. Another question, *7 to unmute your line.
Yeah, this is John Watts from Goodwill Silicon Valley.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to add to that database. What I do here is I store all my resumes in a folder, and then I use Google Search to do keyword searches on the resume. So I probably have about over 1,000 resumes in my database, but using Google Desktop, it will search all those resumes for me by case, by keywords.
Okay. Nice suggestion. Another question or comment? *7 to unmute your line.
I just have a question about the HVRP grant.
Okay.
Could you say more about how one goes about applying for that?
Funding comes out once a year. And the program has an operating year. It starts July 1st and goes through June 30th of each year. We expect that the next round of funding, the new funding that will start June 1st, the applications will probably be coming out within the next couple of weeks. We will post it on the NCHV's website as well as announce it through our listservs and our publications. So I encourage you to sign up for our e-newsletter. Or take a look at our website, and we will post that there. But that is the process. It is a competitive grant process, and it is done once a year with a program start date of July 1st.
How do we sign up for your newsletter?
You do that on our web homepage, which is www.nchv.org. On the left-hand side, on the bottom, towards the bottom, after all the blue buttons, it says sign up for our e-newsletter. Fill in the information, and that'll get you signed up for it.
Thanks.
So we have probably time for one more question. *7 to unmute your lines. Okay, well, I want to thank all of our speakers for their time and some of the great information that they gave. We did record the call, and it will be posted on our website probably within the next week. For those of you who either did not get a chance to hear it or would like to listen for additional information, and we'll let you know as soon as that does become available. But we want to thank everyone for their time and for our speakers sharing their information. Like I said, we will post the HVRP grant when it is available on our website, and we encourage you to sign up for our e-newsletter for additional information and training opportunities. But thank you once again, and I wish everyone to have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.